This is improving phosphorus nutrition of cotton. Dr. Barney Gordon with Gordon Ag Consulting from Grand Junction, Tennessee. Barney?
Thank you.
I spent part of my career at Auburn University and most of it at Kansas State University, and I retired a few years ago, and I do some consulting work for specialty fertilizer products in Leawood, Kansas. And we're going to talk, as Wayne said, a little bit about improving phosphorus and nutrition of cotton. Cotton yields have increased over the years dramatically. Looking at yield increases from 1975 up to 2012, pretty much a linear increase. We're making much more cotton, better genetics, better insect, better disease, and weed control practices than we've had in the past has resulted in pretty dramatic yield increases. So as yield, if we move up that yield curve, we have a greater demand for nutrients. So it places its importance on nutrient management. Phosphorus, important in cotton, is in all plants. It's required for energy storage and transfer, photosynthesis, cell growth, reproduction, stem and stalk strength, disease resistance, and earlier maturity. Very intimately involved in root development, which anything that increases root growth and development increases absorption of water and of nutrients. Phosphorus fixation is a problem in a lot of soils. Iron and aluminum, calcium and magnesium, positive charge, and act like magnets in the soil. These elements bind up phosphorus, which has a negative charge, making it unavailable for plant uptake. Our typical phosphate fertilizers, MAP, DAP, or liquid 1034-0, very water-soluble. These compounds that form with calcium and magnesium and iron and aluminum are almost insoluble, so they're not very available for plant uptake. Again, at low pHs, we have a problem with hydrous oxides of iron, manganese, and aluminum tying up our phosphorus. At high pHs, fixation mostly is calcium phosphates. Even in our optimal pH ranges between 6 and 7, there's really little of the total phosphorus that's actually available compared to what's actually in the soil. Phosphorus, of course, moves by diffusion through the soil, and there's lots of factors involved with diffusion. Water content, it's hard for phosphorus to move to the soil surface in dry soils. Soil bulk density, if we have a compact soil, it affects the ability of nutrients to diffuse to the root surface. Soil buffer capacity, some soils simply have a better ability to supply phosphate to the soil solution than others. Nutrient concentration, our soil test levels in the soil, and temperature, very important. Increasing the temperature increases phosphorus concentration in solution. This is with corn, but the same is very true with cotton, which doesn't like cold temperatures at all. This is some work from Purdue, when soil temperature was reduced from 70 to 58 degrees Fahrenheit, corn root decreased fivefold, and pea uptake by corn roots decreased fourfold. So if we're planting our cotton early in the season, we get that cool weather, even though our soil phosphorus levels might be adequate, we still can have a phosphorus uptake problem. This just illustrates this. Temperature release of phosphorus from a clay loam soil, linear. As the temperature increases, the amount of phosphorus that's released from the soil colloid increases in a linear fashion. So crop recovery of applied pea fertilizer is often low, can be as little as 25% during the season of application. High pH, pea is fixed by calcium and magnesium. At low pH, pea is fixed by iron and aluminum. So we have lots of problems involved with phosphorus nutrition in crops. Specialty fertilizer products, Leawood, Kansas, has developed and patented a family of dicarboxylate copolymers. It can be used as a coating on granular fertilizers or mixed into liquid phosphate fertilizers such as 1034-0. The compounds have a very high cation exchange capacity, approximately 1,800 milliequivalents per 100 grams. So big negative charge. It has lots of branch sites, so it has lots of sites available to latch on to these metal cations, the calcium and magnesium and the iron and aluminum. Functionality is not affected by pH, temperature, or ionic strength. Copolymer is biodegradable and water soluble, does not persist from one growing season to the next. This polymer sequesters the antagonistic cations, takes it out of the soil solution. The theory is the P remains unfixed and available for plant uptake, and it results in concentrated zones of available P for plants. This is some work that I did near our farm in Grand Junction, Tennessee. If you're not familiar with the greater Grand Junction metropolitan area, it's about 60 miles east of Memphis. We're located right on the Mississippi state line, about 4 miles from the state of Mississippi. These are typical silt loam soils that are typical of North Mississippi and western Tennessee. This was not a soil that was low in available P. The malic 1 P level is about 30 parts per million, pH about 6.5. The treatments, the nitrogen and potassium were uniform, 100 pounds of nitrogen, 50 pounds of K2O. The variable was phosphate, 0, 30, or 60 pounds, P2O5 per acre, applied with or without avail in the 3 years of the experiment, 2010, 2011, 2012, we look at our average there, 100 pounds of nitrogen, 60 pounds P2O5 untreated, 50 pounds K2O, 918 pounds of lint per acre. If we look at the 30-pound phosphorus rate treated with avail, we're looking at 1034. So over 100 pounds lint per acre there, going with the avail treated at 30 pounds rather than 60 pounds untreated. Pretty uniform over those 3 years of the experiment as well. Looking at leaf P concentration in that experiment, we see comparing both those treatments, 60 pounds P2O5 untreated, 30 pounds treated, more P, looking at the uppermost fully expanded leaf at full bloom. So again, the product actually does what it's advertised to do. It does facilitate P uptake, so we have more P in the plant, better P nutrition, and better yields. This is looking at another site in the neighborhood at the Ames Plantation. I don't know if you ever heard of the Ames Plantation, but it's in West Tennessee. University of Tennessee also utilizes this location as a research center as well. And again, we look 2 year average here, 60 pounds P2O5 untreated, 891 pounds per acre lint, 30 pounds P2O5 is MAP treated, with avail, 958. Not quite as good a response as we got on the other site, but again, we're looking at 70, 75 pounds yield increase through the use of avail. Both those sites, we had a good response to P, even though our P levels were adequate as far as soil test levels. We did, whether it was treated or untreated, we got nice responses to applied phosphorus fertilizer on both these sites. And this just illustrates it, looking at no P in the background there, in the foreground, MAP plus avail at the 30-pound P2O5, right? You can see the differences there in growth. Looking at 60 pounds P2O5 plus avail, in the front there, in the back, the plot, the next plot up, 30 pounds P2O5 as MAP untreated, and you can see some growth differences there as well. This is some work done by John Kovar at LSU in days gone by. Work from the some of the work he had done in the early 90s. These are again silt loam soils in North Louisiana. Series of sites, different years. looking at surface band starter fertilizer. This fertilizer was put on at planting right on the soil surface in those days. Eddie Funderburk, if anybody remembers him from Mississippi State, did an experiment like this in the early 80s as well. There is a body of work that has looked at surface band starters, and this just illustrates this average over these locations. The surface band, 1,106 pounds of lint. The check, the starter fertilizer check, the no starter check, 999, 106 pounds per acre lint. Pick up there on soils that were very high in P. So you can get good responses to surface applied phosphorus fertilizers as a starter. So we looked at that too with our Avail. Here, no starter check, average over the years, 867. Two things here. We got better results where we put 10 gallons of 1034-0 versus 5 gallons. And again, we got a nice response to the use of Avail in a liquid surface applied starter fertilizer. 10 gallons, 1034-0, untreated, 950 versus 1099 pounds there, looking at the same rate, 10 gallons plus the Avail. So pretty good yield responses with the Avail as a starter fertilizer on cotton. So just to wrap up, influencing or controlling reactions in the microenvironment around that fertilizer granule has proved to have a significant benefit to the availability of applied P fertilizer. So we were looking at the MAP applied. We've done experiments with DAP as well, so there's no real difference between responses with MAP or DAP. But at least in these cotton experiments, we've gotten a pretty good advantage to using the Avail compound on our fertilizer, whether it's a granule fertilizer or as a starter with 1034-0. So it works pretty good both ways. So the use of the Avail did indeed increase P uptake and the yield of cotton on these soils. I would be very remiss if I didn't thank my research assistant here. One of his main qualities is his loyalty. I don't think no matter how much dog food you offered him, he would go to work for you. Very loyal, very intelligent. He usually answers all of my questions for me, being the brains of the operation. He didn't make the trip. He's at home guarding the flocks while we're away. So if there are any questions, I would be glad to take them at this time.
Okay, questions for Dr. Gordon?
Yes. Well, I'm not sure that the Avail product itself, they have two products, the Avail and the Nutrisphere. Together with just the amount of material they sold, figuring the rates it's applied at, it was about 67 million acres last year, those two products together. The Avail accounts for most of the sales, more than 50% of them, so. It has been widely adopted. Where I live in Grand Junction, Tennessee Farmers Co-op has a presence there. And if you want to buy phosphorus fertilizer, it's Avail treated there. Well, these are small plots. These are small replicated plots, so it was done by hand. Weighted out, put it out by hand on the plot. They were both no-till to begin with, so we know where it was. And it was applied by hand. It was applied approximately, depending on the year, either 7 to 10 days before actual planting operation. And they were both no-till sites every year. Yes.
Yeah. currently a white duck lying on the side of the road. Does this have some negative impact to cotton phosphorus nutrition in terms of beneficial root related to mycorrhizal association?
Well, you would suspect that. We haven't. Looking at the pea, I think you're asking that does the avail have some effect on the mycorrhizal associations. I don't know specifically. The product, of course, is designed, like I said, just to keep that phosphorus available. So the soil solution doesn't run short of phosphorus. But as far as I know, no one has actually looked at the effect on mycorrhizae of the avail product.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.